You're listening to SBS News.
Fatima El Assad lost her daughter Aya in 2021 after she was born still at 27 weeks, but felt like she wasn't given the appropriate support to navigate her grief. It wasn't until Fatima started speaking to other Muslim parents that she began to recognise a gap in culturally safe bereavement support. In fact, Fatima's advocacy group, the Still Nest, contributed one of thousands of submissions to a world-first New South Wales birth trauma inquiry earlier this year, in which the government pledged support for all 43 recommendations. I'm your host, Katrina Stirrett, and in this episode of Hysterical, Fatima shares what she believes needs to change when it comes to healthy conversations around pregnancy loss.
Fatima, I understand you experienced stillborn birth with your child, Aya, in 2021. Could you share with me what this experience was like and how you navigated this grief?
Yeah, so Aya is my second born, and birthing her, I guess, was actually a redeeming experience, which I know many will find a little bit unusual. You know, I was actually allowed the space to birth her at my own pace. I was given the privacy and the consideration and support from my obstetrician and midwife. And the part of the story that spins this better birthing experience is that my daughter was actually stillborn. I guess it wasn't until many days and weeks later where the immense weight of that grief actually hit me. I was still riding the waves of that glorious feeling that you get when you birth and seeing your baby for the very first time. And I guess it all just kind of came crashing down, and I was so unprepared for what I was feeling and experiencing both physically and mentally. And I really, really struggled to cope. I finally reached out to a bereavement counsellor, and it wasn't until I had had my first conversation with her that it all actually began to make a lot more sense. And the intensity of that loss kind of seeped into every aspect of my daily life, and I really wasn't even able to return to work for several months. I should say that I actually tried to return to work a week after I birthed her, thinking that I didn't have a baby, so I should be able to go back. But I was so wrong. And unfortunately, I had to just spend a bit of time just sort of sitting with the experience and sitting with those the intense feelings of loss and grief that emanated from losing her.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that kind of initial experience. I can imagine that would have been a really intense time in your life. And I know you mentioned as well, one aspect of the experience was that you felt as though health professionals didn't provide you with enough information in terms of accessing bereavement support, which I know you mentioned you eventually accessed. How difficult was this in an already frightening and isolating time to, I guess, experience this lack of support, if that's how you would put it?
So I guess there was a pivotal moment at the hospital where our obstetric social worker handed me some pamphlets for various helplines and websites after the loss of my daughter. And I remember her just saying to me, look, I'm really sorry, but I don't have anything specific that actually factors in, you know, your faith or your culture in terms of bereavement support. And I, at that moment, really, it didn't sit with me. I didn't really understand why that would be important as someone who was Australian born, who actually did have, you know, English as a language that, you know, I was proficient in. But she was recognizing the importance that faith and culture actually has on the rituals surrounding death and grief. And they became a little bit more apparent to me as time went on. I can say that after navigating my own experience and really going out there and listening to the stories of other families who've experienced, you know, pregnancy loss and stillbirth, it is quite important to have culturally appropriate and culturally respectful bereavement care available to them. And Gidget Foundation Australia actually does provide specialist support for multicultural families. And they also offer fact sheets and translators if required. This type of support wasn't real readily available to me, I must admit, and that's why I went on to, dig around for other people's experiences and to try and really understand what is needed in this space.
Yeah, it's interesting you note that the counsellor recognised that receiving support that aligned with your faith, as a Muslim woman would perhaps be more beneficial, as part of, I guess, your healing. But as you say, the access to that was somewhat limited. How important do you think it would have been to get that kind of support readily available, because it's such an overwhelming time for you to then have to go out and seek that kind of support? I guess how vital would it have been to have that access there for you when you needed it most?
I think what's so important after experiencing my own loss is that I want to ensure others don't find themselves in a position where they're spending months or years or even decades still carrying the weight of this grief and loss with them. Through my work at the Still Nest, which is something I founded to try and understand this space a lot better and to also create a space of solace for grieving parents, many participants join us, and they're not sharing a loss that they've just experienced. It's actually a loss that they've carried with them for decades, And for me, if they had had that support initially, right from the hospital scenario to home, that could actually reduce the impact of that grief.
Yeah, and I really want to ask you about your work with the stillness in a minute, but I'll just go back a bit first because I know you mentioned discovering what you've described as a hidden community of bereaved parents to stillborn babies. Did this community provide a vital source of comfort and healing following this loss? Were you connecting with other Muslim women or fathers who had experienced this? Was it a range of people? I guess how important was discovering this community?
Once I started talking about my story, all of these stories started coming out of the woodworks. And what I started to discover is that I was quite privileged in the sense that I was able to access excellent healthcare, and I actually had a really great healthcare team, at least within the hospital clinical setting, right? And the stories that were coming out were just fraught with so many challenges, and mainly to do with things like not having great healthcare access, not having language, English as their first primary language, not having that culturally responsive or culturally safe birthing spaces, not having space for the partners to actually be participant in the birthing experience and also in the bereavement experience. So I had all of these stories being shared with me, and if I felt compelled to ensure that their voices were also heard, because I knew it brought me such comfort. For me, I just felt that creating that conversation and raising a little bit of awareness has been a courageous thing, because usually these stories are often shrouded with a secrecy and taboo and shame, and often buried for decades and decades.
And do you think that taboo and shame, is that something that you feel is quite universal, or is that something that's, I guess, more prominent in your Muslim faith?
I would say I don't think it has anything to do with the faith itself, in the sense that for us, our faith is very not shy about talking about death. It's something that we actually are encouraged to think about on a daily basis and acknowledge. So those cultural attitudes that losing a baby is something that should be buried very quietly and privately and not spoken about, mainly because fertility in a lot of diverse communities is often seen as something that is attached to their status in a community. So if somebody's able to produce a male, that's in some cultures, that's actually quite highly revered. So losing a baby isn't something that people readily want to talk about, but faith, particularly the Muslim faith, it actually reveres bereaved parents. It puts them on a very high pedestal and openly acknowledges that this is actually one of the most difficult losses that a human being can actually experience. Within the Muslim faith, bereaved parents are not to be ignored. They're to be revered.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned before in speaking to many bereaved parents, especially those from Muslim backgrounds as well, you talk about the importance of ensuring culturally safe care. And I know you said you had a good healthcare experience, but others didn't feel as though they had a very culturally safe experience. There was a birth trauma inquiry in New South Wales. They mentioned how important culturally safe care is to prevent traumatic birth experiences, even when there is a loss, such as a stillborn birth. Are you hopeful that there will be a stronger implementation of culturally safe care for mothers from diverse backgrounds?
So the StillNest, which is directed by myself, actually put a submission in for the birth trauma inquiry, and it was actually selected one of one in 4,000 submissions, which is probably the largest amount, received for this type of hearing. And some of our suggestions were actually incorporated in the final report, which is for me quite a thrilling time to be a part of something like this. And I am exceptionally hopeful that culturally safe spaces and culturally competent healthcare is actually going to become the norm. So it's so important that, birthing families do feel safe and feel respected and feel seen and heard, and that there are no assumptions made about their choices. And I definitely feel that through this birth trauma inquiry and through our own submission, that there is going to be change in this space.
Yeah, and just finally, following off that, you're clearly hopeful about the future for culturally and linguistically diverse women and their partners and families. I guess what's the key thing you'd really like to see change, especially in terms of accessing grief support for people from diverse backgrounds?
I guess pregnancy, loss, and stillbirth can happen to anyone. And, grieving parents usually don't know where to turn or where to go for help. And it's if they don't know anyone in their immediate circles, which is where they usually turn for support, or someone who's had a similar lived experience, they're often find themselves in this big gaping space, and they can struggle on their own. I think it's quite important to allow healthy and even power sharing and communication in a session. So allowing families to sort of express themselves and not stereotype or bias their experience. And I also love to share that it's really important to see the couple or the parents as two separate entities, and they may actually have different cultural and faith influences that may actually impact their grief and bereavement journey. It's not just about language, it's also about understanding the cultural influences that sort of impact the shame, taboo, and secrecy around these sorts of experiences. So cultural competency sort of is beyond just that language translation. There are many Australian-born families who identify with a cultural community and speak English as their first language, but still struggle with that grief and bereavement process. So it's very complex, but very simple in its execution, in the sense that you just need to sort of step back and allow space to listen and appreciate the parents that you're kind of working with.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Fatima, as well as offering a perspective into what you feel needs to change, particularly for parents from multicultural or diverse backgrounds.
Thanks, Kat.